Prayer time this morning. Would you come and join me as we want to lift up several of our family members that are really in need of prayer. But also, there's no children's church today, but there's We Church folks here. You can go on back now. And so if you would come forward, I want to just come up, really just come together. Let's just have a time of prayer before you leave, okay? Miss Kim, would you gather them up right here and just let them stand here in front? Want to ask if you would just remember Brother Harold Turner and the families. Brother Harold's very close to going to be with the Lord, and just praying for the Lord to be merciful to him and to the family. And we love him and love the family. He's been a faithful man of God. Also, Brother Earl Center is at Greenville Memorial. His blood pressure dropped and he's taken a Greer and moved to Greenville. And so if you would keep Earl in prayer and his family also. Miss Aldine, we're glad to have you with us. We've been praying for you. Also for Norman Capps. Norman's getting a little better. But I pray for Norman as much energy as he has, that he doesn't hurt something at this point when he's still healing. And then Miss Sarah Ballou. A lot of you remember Miss Sarah. Sarah Ballou, Europe now. She had a little girl. Amira Joy was born on June 24th. So if you would pray for them as they're there at seminary at Southwestern. Also, Ashley arrived safely there in Central Asia. And if you would keep her in prayer. Brother Wilson's son-in-law, Tim Odom, in a battle with cancer and in a lot of pain. If you would remember Tim and keep him and Sandra in prayer as well. And then Tim Wells, who we know is waiting for a kidney replacement also, if you would just pray for him and Tina also. I know there are many others, folks, but just the Lord knows our hearts as we come to pray. Let's gather together and just lift them up in prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can have that opportunity to repent of our sin and turn to you and place our faith and trust in you. And Lord, that through that faith, Lord, and through that relationship with you, Lord, we can trust you at all times, Lord, because of promises that you have made to us. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you today to worship you and to serve you and to obey you, Lord. And Lord, as we come today, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to pray especially for these precious young children, first of all, Lord, and the teachers as they go back for We Church. Lord, what an important thing it is, Lord, for them to be able to have the opportunity to hear about you, Lord, and to already begin to plant those seeds in their hearts, Lord, that it might be watered. And Lord, that one day there will be a great harvest of souls. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of so many of our families, Lord, as we're seeing more and more coming to faith. And Lord, more young folks that are committing their lives to you and recommitting their lives to you. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, what you're going to continue to do because of who you are. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we continue to be faithful to preach and to teach the word of God, Lord, that you would just draw men, women, and boys and girls to yourself and to save them. Lord, I want to lift up now, Lord, Brother Harold. I thank you for him, Lord, as my brother in Christ, Lord, for what he's meant to me and to this church family, this community. Lord, I pray now for his family, Lord. Just pray your tender mercies upon him and upon them, Lord. I pray for Brother Earl, Lord, that you just be with him, Lord, too. Be with the doctors to give them wisdom and trying to help him, Lord, to get strength from his blood pressure to be regulated. God, I pray for Miss Aldine, thanking you, Lord, that she's here with us today. Lord, it's an answer to prayer because we love her too. And just thank you, Lord, for Norman. I pray, Lord, that you just continue that healing process, Lord. Give him a calm spirit, Lord, to be patient, to wait upon you, Lord, because healing is something that only you can do. And Lord, it's in your time, and we pray for that to happen, Lord, according to your perfect will. God, I pray also, Lord, for Sarah and for Angelo and little Amira Joy. Lord, I thank you for this precious young family that have committed their lives to you, Lord, as a couple. And Lord, as they now have this precious young Joy, Lord, to be able to raise her, Lord, to point her towards you, Lord, and to teach her about our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray also for Ashley. Pray and thank you, Lord, for her safe arrival. Lord, pray as she's getting reacclimated, Lord, you would guide her to divine appointments, Lord, to be able to share the gospel with those who are lost, those who are in searching, those who are in need of you, Lord. And God, I pray also for Tim Odom. God, thank you, Lord, for his faith in you. And Lord, I just pray now, Lord, that you would just give him the strength to be able to endure and to persevere. And Lord, just pray for Sandra as well as a wife to be there with him, Lord, knowing, Lord, they're trusting you at all times, knowing you're the only hope they have, Lord. And God, I pray also for Tim Wells, Lord, for him and Tina, Lord, that you'd be with them. Lord, they too would be able to be patient and wait upon you, Lord, for the timing of this kidney replacement, Lord. For the person who is preparing to give that, Lord, I pray that you would remove the obstacles, Lord, that you would open those doors. And Lord, that this would be a successful operation. It would just extend his life, Lord. And we pray now, Lord, if there's one here who does not know you, Lord, that as your message goes forth this morning, Lord, a call to take up our cross and to follow you, Lord, to be a disciple of Christ, would draw them to yourself, Lord, because of your great love that you've extended to us at the cross. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our text today is in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. I shared from this text with the adult young couples class several weeks ago. So as we went through that lesson, I pray that as we go over it today, that is just a reaffirmation and what God's doing in your life and your commitment to him. And it's just a reminder to all of us of really what this time is. As we celebrate the 4th of July on Wednesday and we had those patriotic songs today, I am very thankful for our military. I'm thankful for our nation. I forgot to even mention I wanted to pray for Brandon as I was thinking of those to pray for us. He's there in Texas and will be home on Saturday. All the things that will be going on preparing for VBS for next week and all those things that have to be done. And when you walk in on Saturday, it starts on Sunday. So a lot depends on our folks here working this week, preparing, getting everything ready. A lot of prayer needs to go up. It's a time of great spiritual battles. Some of that's already started even. And so if you would, just begin to pray for this time. This is our largest outreach that we do as a church every year. And so with that, Satan, of course, just picked this time to want to try to really attack because he looks for an opportune time. But we serve a great and awesome God. And we just need to call upon him and ask him to fight the battles for us this coming week as we prepare and during the week of VBS as well. We had 8 baptized on Sunday. We have 3 more that are preparing for the 15th of July. The Wood family is not here today because their youngest is being baptized by his grandfather in their what was really their home church. So we're celebrating with them today. And so it's a great thing. The Lord's just blessing in the life of our church. It's awesome to see that. But I want you to be reminded of the commitment we have to make to the Lord and to commit ourselves to him too. And so our passage of scripture today, the timing is God's sovereignty, that is perfect timing for us to be reminded about being a disciple and being committed to the Lord. I've been preaching through the discipleship wheel. We're at that point now basically of being a child in Christ and moving towards being a young adult. And so if you think about that, I think about our teenagers a lot when I look at that wheel. And so basically we're talking about basically becoming a teenage Christian. You know, our calendar years has nothing to do with our spiritual maturity. It's about drawing in closeness to the Lord, learning from him, applying that word, living for him, and committing to him in obedience as well. And so it's awesome to be saved. But as we're going to talk about today, while the works that you do don't confirm in the sense of saying you have to do these things to be saved, but what they do is they give proof that you are in that right relationship with the Lord. And so just a time to be able to examine our lives as we're thinking about the blessing of the freedom that we have. First of all, in Christ Jesus as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in the nation that we live in with the freedoms that we have to be able to go out and be able to share the gospel openly and freely at any time without really major implications of persecution. And so I want to share with you this morning, first of all, about a gentleman that, as we're talking about counting the cost of being a disciple, is some of you that are a little bit older may remember stories about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor in Germany during World Wars I and II. If you think about the timing of what took place in between those wars, is a ruthless man named Adolf Hitler came into power, and as he was coming into power, he was bringing this racist ideas of an Aryan nation that was elite or better than everyone else. And so he was bringing persecution against those who were Jews who lived in Germany especially. But as that was taking place, the sad part is rather than standing firm in the truth of the scriptures and standing firm of what the Lord teaches us in his word, the German church was beginning to make shifts and changes too because of the persecution and the pressure that was taking place. They began to be more tolerant to teach these things and to allow these things to happen. And so Bonhoeffer was one who helped form what was called the Confessing Church. And it was those that stood upon the scriptures, regardless of the circumstances and the sorrows and the pain and it was going to bring on you, but being willing to die for the truth of God's word and proclaiming that truth to people that were being deceived. Now, folks, I want to remind you, we have a lot of freedom here in America. But we're very, very blessed. I mean, I read this morning as I was getting up and just looking over, we're so wealthy that in San Francisco, if you make $117,000+ a year, you're considered eligible for low income for relief. Wow. Many of them sitting here don't make that, never made that. And so I guess, we think we're okay, we're middle class, but we're really poor. But compared to the world, we're extremely wealthy. There's a great responsibility comes with that. and how we use the resources the Lord's blessed us with. First of all, with ourselves, and then with the things that he has given us that belong to him to be used for him as well. As we come to the context today, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as I was saying earlier, he's written a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And I want to just read you a few quotes from him and Oswald Chambers this morning, because I've lived in an area where the persecuted church is there in Central Asia. And there's a different perspective when you're facing persecution for your faith every day. He says, to endure the cross is not tragedy. It is the suffering which is the fruit of an exclusive allegiance to Jesus Christ. He also said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And in Oswald Chambers, which many read some of his writings in your devotions, he said, choosing to suffer means that there must be something wrong with you. But choosing God's will, even if it means you will suffer, is something very difficult. No normal, healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He simply chooses God's will, just as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. You know, when we talk about where we're at today, Jesus had just sent the 12 out in the beginning of this chapter. He had fed the 5,000. But I want to kind of begin, even though our main text is verses 23 through 26, and reading to you verses 18 through 20. And it happened in verse 18 as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. You know, I want to ask you to think about that this morning. Who is Christ to you today? It's an important question we need to ask ourselves every single day. Every decision that we make should be centered around who is Christ to me and who am I to Christ. Talking about that relationship that we have with the Lord. And so in verse 23, there are four things I want to point out to you, because they had come to this point. They had acknowledged Jesus as the God-sent Messiah. I mean, like I said, Peter didn't always get it right, but here he was absolutely 100% correct. Jesus had told him basically, don't tell anybody. And it's not the time yet. Don't say anything. Okay? And it's like telling Baptists a secret that something's going to happen. Is, you know, we can't hardly hold it in. We want to tell everybody. So it's like, okay, hold on to that. Now, I know it's hard, but just wait just a little bit. The time to announce is not there yet. But as Jesus is confronting them here in verses 23 through 26, the thing that he wanted them to understand is he is and was the God-sent Messiah that had been prophesied by all the old prophets before. He was a fulfillment of the law. He is the Messiah. But what he was wanting them to understand is he's not the Messiah that many of them had in their mind. And what I want to remind you of that too is we live in America where American Christianity basically tends to think that when I place my faith and trust in Christ, everything is going to be good. Everything is going to be perfect. My troubles are going to go away. I'm not going to suffer. There's not going to be any sorrows. And let me just tell you, nothing in Scripture tells us. As a matter of fact, the very opposite. Jesus didn't sugarcoat his message when he shared with those. Matter of fact, when you look at the message when he was shared with many of them, you think, well, what is it that caused them to follow him? When you read these verses that we're going to study today, you think, well, man, why would they have followed him? Because what he's trying to do here is separate those who are following because of the miracles, those who are following because they think he's this Messiah that's going to be this political or human leader or ruler that's going to control Jerusalem and give them positions, as we heard between those disciples arguing over who's going to be the greatest because they were wanting to be in position on the right hand, the left hand. So he's trying to straighten them out. So it's kind of going to give them a test here. And it's a test we need to remember, too, when we're sharing the gospel with somebody. A lot of times when we're saying sharing the gospel, when we come to that point of inviting them to Christ, we go something like this. All you really have to do is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your sin and turn to him. That's it. You see, for salvation, you're correct. But what we tend to do in that verbiage is we tend to give them this sense of, well, it's an easy salvation. It's an easy penalty that was going to be paid for. by another person or another way. And what you tell them basically is there's nothing else you do. And that's wrong. Because we're going to see here is there's a difference between being just a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and being a disciple. There are many within the church that are believers, but there are few true disciples. Now, I'm not trying to be judge here. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm preaching and sharing this. I've had to examine my life, and I'm asking you to do the same. Because, like I said, there's a cost involved in being a follower of Christ. And he makes this very clear from the very beginning. He says in verse 23, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whomever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.'" You know, as we see the beginning of this, there's four things in this first verse that we need to look at. Is if anyone desires to come after me, that anyone meaning anybody that wants to follow Christ. All of us here that have made that decision, we want to follow you, Jesus. We want to be committed to you. There's no exemptions in this. You see, we tend to have this idea in America that, well, I'm saved and I'm a part of the church, but I don't have to do anything. Well, scripturally, we read about how the body comes together and every one of us are a part of that body, and each one of us are used by God for his glory in different ways. And that with that, we do have responsibilities within the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him in obedience and faith as a matter of worship and worshiping him. And so the first thing we need to be reminded of is that we're not exempt. You know, a lot of times we like to let our checkbook do the things too. It's like we can write a check and say, here, you know, I'd rather give my time, my money than my time because I just don't have a lot of time. You know, when you do that, a lot of times what you miss, though, is the blessing of being together with the body and bonding together and drawing closer to the Lord and closer to one another and being a part of just the hands, being the hands and feet of carrying that message of the gospel to those who are lost and who are dying. And, you know, it doesn't exempt us. Now, I'm saying the Lord uses everything we do. I understand that. And I'm not saying we don't do those things, but it shouldn't just be our first thought, our first opportunities. Well, I'll just pay for this or do this, and then I'll go on. Okay? God uses those things, but he also wants and desires that fellowship with us, and he wants us fellowshipping together as the body. He wants us on mission together. You know, when you think about where we're at here, he had fed the 5,000. They had seen some of these miracles take place, but they had been sent out. They came back talking about the miracles that had happened and the things in lives were changed, including their own and even their own belief being deepened even and seeing what God did through them and the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing is with that, Jesus is reminding them it's not a one and done kind of thing. It's an ongoing mission. You know, I tell people all the time, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Especially when people say, well, I've been there and done that, it's time for someone else to do it. Listen, you don't hand off the baton until he calls you home. Till he brings you to a point where physically he's got you idle and still to grow deeper in him, maybe where you're not able to serve, but yet you're growing in him still. I love our homebound. They're very precious. And I know they spend time in the word, they spend time in prayer. And we pray for them. But the one thing about it is many of those that are homebound are some of the same ones that every year when there was VBS going on, they were involved in serving. They were helping within the church. They were helping whatever was going on here trying to reach people for Christ. And so their great desire is to want to be with you and be at church and to be a part of that. Miss Aldine will attest to you, probably one of the greatest things that she's wanted over these weeks and months was to be back with the body of Christ. Is because she loves this church, and I know that, and there are many others like that. But you know, when you think about that, it's a reminder to us of the freedoms that we have and how with that freedom we abuse it quite often. As we have the opportunity, the time, and the availability, and the help to be here, to serve, to worship, to help, and yet we don't avail ourselves of that. And so that's why I'm asking that question to you today, is have you counted the cost of who Christ is to you? and what he's done for you and what he continues to do for you. So no one is exempt. Okay? The next thing is he says, and let him deny himself. Now, when he says let him, and it can be here, her, deny herself, is when you're talking about that, he's talking about denying ourselves of the things maybe that we would want to do, maybe the things that we would pursue after, because we realize that they fail in comparison to the awesome beauty and the wonder and the splendor of who God is. As our Lord, as our King, as our Creator, as our Sustainer, he's worth it all. You know, he's going to go on and tell us how we're going to count the cost versus everything in this world. But it begins with the fact that we're willing to deny ourselves. You know, I think about as a parent a lot of times when you're raising children and all of us are on fixed incomes and budgets of what we got, what comes into the house, that's your fixed income. You know, so you say, well, I got the opportunity to get a second or third job, but you're still limited to a point. There's only so much time and strength and energy you got, and so much money is going to come in, all right? So you get to a point where a child has a need, or it may be that they've just really had their heart set on something as a loving father or mother. It's not that you're trying to spoil them, but you really want to do something for them to encourage them maybe in some way. And so you begin to sacrifice things for yourself. And you do it because of the love of a child. Maybe it's that because of your work, you normally eat out a lot for lunch or dinner, and you're thinking, it's no big sacrifice. I'll just skip lunch or I'll skip dinner, and I'll save that money. I'll keep putting it back, and I'll pay for this, whatever they need, or I'll use this towards what we're trying to give them to encourage them at this time. And so you make sacrifices. Maybe there was something that you desired that you say, you know what? In light of my family, it's really more just a want. It's not a need. And you start thinking, it's more important that I use this for my family or another family that is in need. It may not even be your own family. It may be the Lord lays it on your heart about someone else that the Lord's brought into your path that you help them at a time of great need. And you know, with that, that's denying yourself and saying, Lord, this is yours and I'm going to use it to bring you glory. It's not about getting a pat on the back or, you know, look what I did or any of those things, but it's all for the Lord. I've had people in this church at different times God's used to do just that for our family. And I pray the Lord bless you. But think about that. Those are worldly things we're talking about. But what he's saying is denying our desire for the things of this world because we value him more. Do we think about that often? Do we sit there and just dwell on the fact at times about what it means to abide in the Lord and have that relationship with him because of what he did for us by denying himself to go to the cross and die for us? The next thing it talks about is to take up your cross daily. You know, when we think about that, we all know what the cross was, and we understand it was a very cruel instrument that the Romans had taken and used in a way to even make it exceedingly shameful, embarrassing, painful, and it was an instrument of death. And so he knew he was about to go to the cross, and he's challenging them here is in your minds, you're thinking I'm this earthly Messiah who's going to rule and reign and give you all these material things and positions and all this, much like we think about quite often here in America. And he's saying, you need to get that out of your mind. You need to forget about those things. You need to know me for who I am. And you need to be willing to live for me and to die for me. Now, let me just say this. Quite often, we're willing to live for him when things are going well and we're blessed to live where we do. And it's just a little easy to do that in a large sense and say, you know, I'm a Christian. And tell many people, I'm a Christian. But the other part of it is, are you willing to die for him? And that's what he's confronting them. They're going to have to make a decision here about following him. And I'm challenging you today to make a decision about being a true follower of Christ and becoming a disciple of Christ, not just one who says, I'm in the family because I've trusted and I believe. We're going to see there's more. That's part of it, but there's more. Not for your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. Please don't get that confused. But there's more to being a Christian as a follower of God, a disciple, than just receiving your salvation and knowing that Jesus is Lord. He says, also, follow me. You know, that's one of the things that we need to understand is that to follow Jesus doesn't mean that just get right behind him and wherever he goes, that's where we go. You know, these followers of Jesus, they walked with him and they talked with him and they sat with him and they spent time with him. They prayed with him. And so with that, he's saying, be in my presence because I will abide with you, but I want you to desire me and that follow me to be in the presence of you. You see, a lot of times we want to segment our lives and say, well, when I'm at church or when I'm with certain people or certain places, you know, I know there's certain rules of etiquette, so to speak, of how we conduct ourselves as Christians. But when I'm alone, or I'm out of town, or I'm in a different place, or whatever it may be, then maybe I'm not held to those standards. That's not Christianity. That's not being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he calls you to take up your cross and deny yourself and follow him, he's saying that I am worth everything to put all that behind you, and I am the one who died for you. And I've set the example, come follow me. The next thing in comparison here, he says in verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Now, he's talking about life here and losing life. And he's saying that word that's used for life in the Greek is psyche. And it basically means your physical life or your soul. And so he's referring to what good does it do to gain the whole world and then lose your soul? And when you think about that, you know, there's going to be some that when they come before the Lord, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, but we did all these things. Doesn't matter. Depart from me because I never knew you. You see, it's got to be more than just a motivation of I want to fit in. This is the right thing to do. You know, all these other reasons why we can throw out there. It's got to be a matter of that Jesus is Lord of my life. And for that reason alone, it's enough. It doesn't matter if anybody else is going to come along or participate. This is what God's called me to do, and I'm going to go. Folks, I'm thankful that when we read, he sent them out two by two. Because the encouragement we get from one another when we're in fearful of things or when we're scared to do something by ourselves or not sure of what we're doing, and a lot of times we reassure each other. But you know, the thing about it we're talking about here, though, it is that individual walk that Jesus is talking about here in that relationship with him. But when you talk about that life and psyche, I want to read to you a paraphrase that I found from Chuck Swindoll. He said, you can paraphrase this verse in the sense to say, whoever wishes to save his physical life will lose his spiritual life. But whoever turns over his physical life for my agenda, he is the one who will get to keep his spiritual life. And another way is whoever wishes to save his soul will lose his soul. But whoever turns over his soul for my agenda, he is the one who will get to keep his soul. The first paraphrase rejects selfishness, and the second one, self-righteousness. You know, I think about this. Every decision that we make for ourselves and our family has an effect and basically stating what our relationship is with the Lord and whether it's close or whether it's distant. And, you know, I look at the families that are being torn apart today because of they're making decisions where they're taking their children away from church and out of church because they're putting other priorities that are more important, so to speak. And I know we all live in seasons of life, but I'm telling you the God of sports has become an idol. Many of us here are sports fans. You hear me talk a lot about Clemson. I know you Carolina fans don't like to hear that, but I pull for Carolina when they were in the playoffs. I love sports, but I do not worship sports or the God of sports. No one that created a sport, no sport died for me. I mean, I don't have idols in sports that I'm looking to and worshiping and things. I've only got a couple of autographs, and most of the time didn't even ask for those, just with a group, and they signed everybody's. But the thing I'm saying is this. It's not that those things are bad until we begin to put those before God. Then he says we got a problem. And we can say whatever we want, but when they're not here to be growing up with these other kids and learning the word together and helping become close to one another as well as to the Lord, to draw in closeness and those bonds in the Lord together, then they're missing something that's going to affect them for years to come. I'm not preaching against any certain families or any certain group. I'm just saying we need to count the cost and deny ourselves. If Christians would stand up and say, we're not going to play on Sundays and be gone all weekend, every weekend, and do these things, they would stop these money-making leagues. There's a reason that's driving these things. And Jesus said, all that is rubbish. It's going to perish. And many will lose their souls, and many of their children's souls will be lost at the altar of sports. I'm not against sports. But we have decisions that we have to make that not only affect us, but affect our children. And I'm challenging our families, wake up. Because we seem to be in this slumber of we have to do these things. We don't have to do anything. Again, you have all these freedoms in America. But you choose to do these things. And so with that, I'm challenging us that we read this scripture and understand if we gain the whole world and lose our souls, we've gained nothing. But if we give away the things of the world, we gain our soul through the Lord Jesus Christ who saves us. And as we look at it too, it says in verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's glory, is what's implicated there, and of the holy angels. You know, folks, all of us are going to have to stand before the Lord at some point and give an account for our lives. And I'm thankful that I'm only going to have to give an account for my life. There are going to be many things that I'm going to say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But all of us are going to be there. But the thing I'm looking forward to is he's going to say, but you're forgiven through the shed blood of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come home. Today, I want to ask you, are you more concerned about things of this earth and a throne here on earth of some kind, whatever it may be, or are you concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? Have you counted the cost to think about who he is and what he has done and what he continues to do in your life as a believer and what he desires to do in the life of your family if we'll stay committed to him? You know, as I was talking about that, about salvation, is we all have to make that commitment of believing and affirming our relationship with him. But it doesn't stop there. Then we're to learn the word and apply the word to our lives in obedience to the word and the Spirit of God. And as we do that, we teach it to our children. And we point them to Christ, that they too can be drawn to him and give their lives to him, because it's an individual relationship. They will not be saved because of your relationship, except that you express that daily within your life, not just with your lips, but with your life, to them as you live with them and walk with them and sit with them and talk with them. And some of you say, well, my children are grown. Many of you have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I want to encourage you too. Many of those that come to our church that we pick up, to Miss Shelby and them pick up on the van, there's a great opportunity to be adopted children there too. It's like adopted grandkids that you can love on and pour into and mentor and point them to Christ. There's a great need for that, because not all these homes they're coming from have moms and dads who are together or that are believers in Christ. And with that said, we love them. And God loves them. And he died for them, and he sent us now to go and proclaim that message to them and to invite them to come to him. But not only those, but those who will come to VBS. And I pray that you invite those around you in the community to bring their kids and bring their grandkids. I don't care if they're church kids from other churches. We worry about that sometimes. Well, all we have is the kids from other churches. You know what? It's awesome when a kid comes to faith. I don't care if they're a member of this church or whether their family goes to another church. We want to point them to Christ and see them come to the Lord and get saved, all right? That's what it's about. It's about the kingdom. It's about the King himself. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word. And God, I pray now, Lord, that we would examine our lives, examine ourselves to see have we denied ourselves and taken up our cross, and we do that daily and follow you. Not one time, not occasionally, but every single day, Lord, not what we desire, but what you desire for us, Lord, that we would follow you. And Lord, that we would acknowledge you before all men, unashamedly, Lord, proclaiming that you alone are God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.